And then just start asking questions.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm here with my good friend and coach and mentor, Allison Steele. Allison, thanks so much for being here.
Oh my gosh, you're so welcome. I'm so glad to be here.
Okay. So I am thrilled to ask you some questions just about, when people are getting started in the voiceover industry and they want to know what are their first steps and what's a good coach to work with. I wanted to give an idea of just what it would be like if to hire you to work with you as a coach. So I want to hear some about your background first, and both in terms of being a voiceover talent, because I know you're a voiceover talent, and then also coaching wise.
Coaching wise. So let's see, my background is, and sadly, you've heard the story a million times. I've gone to the High School of Performing Arts in New York City and was the last graduating class there before the school became LaGuardia, which is now still in New York City. And then I went to Queens College and studied acting and communications. And then I got my MFA in dramaturgy in Stony Brook University. And then I moved out to LA and decided I'm going to just start doing everything on camera again instead of doing the background teaching part. And I decided out of nowhere, you know what, I'm ready to do voiceovers, even though I've sounded like this since I was four. And it didn't hit me until I was in my late 20s. And I did everything wrong. I made a demo immediately, and I had a lot of raw talent and ended up just not being able to uphold that demo. And then I started honoring the profession by getting coaches myself, working with several people in the industry. And at the time, there was really no internet, so I had to kind of like do my groundwork. And then went from then on, started with a small agent, larger agencies, and built my reputation or whatever you want to call it there. So started working, pretty soon after I made a demo, and got an agent. What was the next question?
Well, the next question was also your background as a coach, but before we go into that, I wanted to touch on something you said about, because maybe newer voiceover talent or people who are looking into this work, could you define for them what you mean when you say you couldn't uphold your demo?
So I could, what happened was, is I made this really cool demo, which I'll show you because it's so funny, and not everybody will understand what this means if they're really young, but it's a cassette. So I made this cool demo with this guy, Chuck Duran, who's still in business. It was about 3.5 minutes long. You take commercial, promo, imaging, and you mushed it all together at the time. And that's what demos were. And he was able to really direct me very well because I had a great performance, through acting background. But I wasn't able to uphold the reads because he directed me and I was able to be directable, but I didn't know how to get those reads back. So I had somebody said, "Can you read back what you did?" I wouldn't have been able to do it very well. And so I think a lot of people get into the profession without studying and they're making great demos, but they're not able to repeat what they did in their demo. And then, it's shell shock basically.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the things when we first got started, you told me to wait 6 months to a year before making my first demo. I think that's great. I think that's really great and really grounding advice because it feels, especially when you're excited to get in the industry, you're like, I'm on fire. I want to go the first thing, go make my demo. And I love that that's part of your story, that like, hey, I can speak from experience. That's not the thing to do. And then you said, honoring the profession. And I love that language too, of it's not a thing where you go in and just, make this demo and it starts happening really fast. There's coaching and training involved.
Exactly. And what you were asking in the beginning, what would be my first thing to tell a newcomer? Get a coach, get a mentor, get somebody who's going to literally take you by the hand and go, "Here, walk this way," and be up, be held by that person. That's literally the main thing. Get a coach.
And so that leads us into the second part of what's your background as a coach? What do you love about coaching?
So, you know, having gone to graduate school, I learned how to teach on a collegiate level. So I enjoy teaching older people. Older meaning, yes, I've taught 12 and 13 year olds. I prefer, and I do well with them. And I've even, you know, coached my own kids when they were really young, when they're doing voiceover jobs. But I do prefer 16 and up or 18 and up, just because that's when I started, you know, in high school and that sort of thing. But you, I totally forgot the question. What?
your background as a coach and...
Oh, my background as a coach. So you're going to have to splice this together because apparently I'm having like age problems. I was taught well how to teach when I was in grad school. And over the years, I honed in on how to teach voiceover. You know, just I didn't start teaching immediately. I really waited years into my career of a voiceover actor to teach. And was never really marketed myself as a teacher. It was always been on referral. A lot of referrals come from you because which I love. I adore that. And I thank you for that too. But I believe what makes me a good teacher is that not all teachers are good performers. Not all performers are good teachers. I think I have a good amalgam of both. And so, it's the way I present things. I really like setting a great foundation for my students. I'll test them along the way without them knowing it. And so I infuse, I hope that my being engaging is infusing them with a lot of knowledge.
Yeah. And I can attest for your coaching because you were my very first coach and super, just a great experience. Do you coach beginners?
I do. I coach beginner, intermediate, and people who are working, you know, well into the field, actually. It definitely feels different with each, and I evaluate differently with each person. And I put this on my facts page on my website, and I really thought about it. I do like being somebody's mentor. I think that it's a really neat, first of all, it's a great honor to really walk somebody through the process, like particularly yourself, who was my first really great success. And it just feels so heartwarming and just incredible to be able to see somebody's career take off. And of course, we became friends, and like you're a soul sister to me. So I can see the trajectory of your path. And I still love that you come to me for things because we work together, which is just beautiful. But it really does feel joyous for me to be able to push somebody to their next level. And again, from beginner to people who are seasoned in the field.
Awesome. So just going down my list, if this feels disjointed, it's because I'm actually just asking questions.
Oh, it's okay. I'm the one who stopped going, wait, what did she say? It's like I'm on.
No worries. So what genre or genres of voiceover do you coach in?
I always start with commercial with people. So commercial for sure. Promo, narration. I could do animation, but I usually start very lightly in the animation field, and then I feel then I get them to my guy that I use as an animation you know, when I need an animation coach or infusion. You know, I could do e-learning, but I'd probably send them to you for that because, you know, you want to send the person, you know, have them really have a niche in their field. You know, for audiobooks, I do them occasionally, very occasionally, but I happen to be doing two right now, but on happenstance, I know. You know, I'll probably send them to somebody else as well. So I really try to stay like in the, you know, the politicals, commercial, infomercial, narration, promo, and then, you know, a smattering of the other stuff, but it's always going to start with commercial.
Okay. So you're talking to someone who's interested in voiceover and they're looking through, you know, like, I know I need a coach. What is important for them to look for in a coach?
The important things to look for in a coach are definitely, first of all, who are they? Are they an agent? Were they a former agent? Are they just primarily a coach? Who have they coached, and where did their students end up? Because then you're going to know, are they working? Are they making money in the field? Are they just kind of nowhere in the field? So you really do get in a feel of like, where do they stand? what is there? What is the coach's mainstay? Like, do they coach mostly animation, mostly commercial, mostly, you know, promo? So we all have our niches, right? So, you know, again, I would take probably, I would do a little promo with people and go, you know, send them to somebody else as well later on down the road. So definitely also, are they engaging? How do you vibe with them? Do you feel like your hand is being held along the way, that you're learning everything you possibly can in the field to feel as though you're taken care of, that you can just like call, text, write an email and say, hey, I have a question, et cetera, et cetera. That's what I would look for in a coach.
Yeah. And when should a voice talent start seeking a coach? Well, I guess you answered that early on, right? You said,
voice talent should start seeking a coach when they want to get into the field and say, this is it. I really want to do this. It's kind of like going to any school. You say, I want to go to law school. So you start learning about the law and go to school. So this is the same thing. You learn about who the coaches are, their various reputations and what they're known for and who they've coached and, you know, how successful some of their students might be. And then you go from there.
And what do voice talent learn when they're coaching with you?
don't
give it away, but I mean, like, breaking the bullet points.
Voice talent learns from the ground, from the foundation of voiceover, and knowing all of the lingo and all of the, you know, what the technology, what's going on in the field. I start very foundationally. They don't even open their, if they're a newcomer, that is. If they're in the intermediate phase, it might be a little different, or in the advanced stage. But if they're a brand newcomer, they're going to learn everything from the ground up. I like my students to know everything that's going on, give them a great landscape, make them feel as though they are in the water, but in a lifeboat being held, so that they can feel like, oh, I'm part of this world. I know what's going on. I have somebody who's, you know, a lifeline, and really feel like they're, you know, solid in the field. So they definitely start with the foundational stuff. Everything starts from the foundation and you build from there.
Awesome. And how long do you typically work with students?
Great question. How long do I typically work with students? I work with students, I want to say at least 3 to 6 months, and it depends on their rate. So for example, I have a student now that started with me in September, but she's already on the demo track and she's already in the midst of making her demo. So she studied with me every week for an hour and she's already making her demo. Another student similarly is only doing a half an hour a week, but she started in July or August because it's only a half an hour. So she's a little more, but same thing. She's already on the demo track. So depending on, you know, for my, what I've really also recognized is if a student can only afford, let's say 2 hours a month, I ask them to do half hours so that we can meet all the time. You have to meet with me. It forces them to be like, okay, here I am. And that you get more out of it, ironically, than if it would just be 2 hours a month. So they definitely, I want to say about 3 months for an average newcomer is around the time, as long as I don't have to change accents. But even if I do, this other woman I was just talking about, she's still on the demo track. She just got her first job. So she's, you know, it took about 3 months and she's now making her demo, but that's probably a good amount of time. You know, sometimes it might be 4 months, sometimes it might be 5 months.
And just for reference, we're recording this in December, just so, because I know you mentioned months, so that we can get a sense of how long they've been working.
Wait, it froze. Okay.
And let's see. And so you kind of answered this question with that too. How regularly do you recommend students work with you? Sounds like weekly.
Yes, it would be nice weekly. Again, like if some of them are like, oh my gosh, I can afford 2 hours, and I'm like, buy a package and we'll just tick off the half hours. Or buy, you know what I mean? So I definitely want them to get more, as much bang for their buck, because it isn't expensive. Their biggest investment is going to be me. It's not going to be the equipment. It's not going to be anything else. It's going to be the coach. So whoever you choose, you know, keep that in mind. But absolutely, I think it's better to have a little bit at a time than to have, you know, better to have a little food at a time than an entire Thanksgiving meal once a month. So that's, Right. Yes, it's better to just go half an hour weekly if you can.
Okay. And we talked some about demos already. So this is a multi-layered question, and we'll just touch on the parts that we haven't already talked on.
Okay.
Or talked about. So what is your take on demos? When should students make them? Do you make them? We haven't talked about that yet. Do you have preferred demo producers that you recommend that they use? and what's your involvement? So we can take
one at a time.
Got your take on demos. So when should they make them? Do you make them?
What's my take on demos? Do not make a demo until you're ready, because that is shooting yourself in the foot. As again, that I, you know, my experience that I did the wrong thing, learn from that. And I've seen many unfortunate people who've done the same thing as well. You're taking money and it's a nice, usually a decent sum of money. You want your demo to last at least 2 years and you're investing it in that. And if you're not ready, or if you don't think that your reads are going to hold for at least 2 years before you become a little bit more experienced, don't do the demo yet. Again, you'll have lots of, maybe you'll have a lot of raw talent, but you won't be able to reproduce what you did on the demo. What was the next question?
When should students make them?
So yes, make the demo when your coach says, yes, make the demo. Now there's a caveat to that statement. You don't want to, some coaches unfortunately are trying to string you along as long as possible. You don't want to be with one of those coaches either. And you don't want to be with a coach that says, give me the money up front. I'm going to do all of you, you're going to learn, give me $5,000. We're going to have a couple of months, a month or two of classes, and then we're going to do a demo. I would steer clear from that. You want to be with somebody who absolutely knows, like, you're at the right pace, you're at the right track, and you're able to sustain a demo, what you put out there.
Right. And do you make demos?
I do. I make demos, and I pride myself on them because my students not only get agents and work, but the demos come out really cool. And I do demos in a way that's interactive, so it's unlike anybody else out there that does them. And I've really honed in on also making it a great learning experience for the student. They're doing it by Zoom this way. They're recording themselves. And it really, there's multi layers of what they're learning, which will help them when they're doing real jobs. And like I said, the demos, because I do things a little counterintuitively and very interactively, the demos come out super cool, very engaging, and extremely, they're not generic, very different than a lot of other demos out there, but they get listened to and people enjoy them.
Awesome. So this is a weird question after that answer, but do you have preferred demo producers that you recommend students use?
That's not a weird question. It's a great question. I do use a preferred producer because the producer is the ones that are mixing it and putting the music in and putting the sound effects in and that sort of thing. And you want to have a producer who knows a great balance and who knows demos. There was a few months ago where I was considering adding somebody else to the mix in terms of who can I work with. You have to have a great rapport with the person. I go back and forth with the engineer. We decide what order it's in, which can make a huge difference in terms of how you listen to it. And even, I'd say, oh, wait, you put a sound effect there. That needs this, that needs that. And they'll tweak it like that. So some producers are just like, no, let me do my thing. And other producers might be too loud on the production part, might not be loud enough, or they just don't have the feel of a demo. I have a friend who's great at producing radio shows, and then I asked him to send me a demo of what it would sound like for commercial. I'd never use him for that. He's not the right producer for that sort of thing. So it's an excellent question. And when I was starting to think who else can I use in case I couldn't get my guy that I normally use, I had to whittle it down to maybe two people. So great question.
All right. And then what is your involvement in the demos of your students?
So as I was saying, my involvement with the demos of the students is very interactive. We create the demo with dry voice only. It might take one session, usually more, maybe it takes two or three sessions. And then we take all the files, send them to my engineer, and then my engineer and I go backwards and forwards with, doing a little mixing and, magic spells. And then, we finally send it to the person. So I'm definitely involved the whole process of making the demo.
Awesome. So is a student ever done coaching with you, or how do you help them determine next steps?
You're a great example. Is a student ever done? I would say that to some degree, there are certain students that are like, well, now I want to, study audiobooks. So I sent a student to the guy that I would send for audiobooks. Another student, was wanting to do, again, animation. I sent them to my animation guy, I'd send e-learning to you. There's going to be people out there who can coach better than I can with certain things. So like kind of the way you and I, you know, did some promo together. And then I was like, go to this guy, go to this person as well. And you'll get more and more out of it as time goes on. Then I'll even coach with other people and go, oh, you know, I can share that with Carrie. And so then we share information. But it's always nice to know if I'm considered still, you know, somebody that you'd reach out to or the person who study with me, because it's nice. It's nice to have that, you know, connection. It's nice to be, so, you know, it's kind of, it starts to become a symbiotic relationship, but yeah, you're done to an extent, but you know, I guess a teacher of mine used to say in high school, you're not done until for 20 years. So I didn't ever consider myself a full teacher until I was in the voiceover field for 20 years, which is an interesting thing. I still taught before then, but same thing. It's just, I'd still have a connection with the teachers potentially, but you know, you're never quite, it's always a practice. You're always moving forward. Or I should say always learning. Yeah. So you're done, not done. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think too, with you in particular, you're always available. So even if a student maybe stopped getting lessons for a while, but then had a question.
Yes.
Like, you know, you always have that.
Yes, you even asked me a question a few months ago, whatever it was, a year ago, about the unions and this and that. And so, yeah, we had a talk, and it's nice to be able to have that touch point with the person. And you're right. I definitely, you know, keep myself open for students for that. Absolutely. I think it's important to have somebody you can go to.
Awesome. Okay. The last question is, brag on yourself/ your students. What is your greatest accomplishment as a voiceover, just in the industry, voiceover actor, voiceover coach? What are you proud of? And what students are you proud of? And
I'm not doing this, but you are my greatest accomplishment as a teacher. I mean, hands down, when I say, I mean, you are, it's, you know, you quit your job within 3 months, you just skyrocketed. You have a great, you know, we have a great relationship teaching together and get to work together. I mean, you are just not only a great mentee, protege, but a soul sister. So you are my absolute greatest accomplishment in terms of teaching. There are other students have become full-time voiceover artists as well, which is really neat to see them on rosters and working. Even older men like this guy, Jim, he's constantly working in audiobooks. The guy is like an audiobook king now. And that's just really, really cool. It's just such a neat feeling. And as the students kind of up and come, and I'm making some even demos right now that I can think of, I'm like, go, 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 like keep going. So that's always such a great feeling, because it's, you know, patting me on my back. For myself, you know, getting really cool jobs that I love doing, or being on rosters that I enjoy being on, and, you know, really cool commercials that I'm like, ah, this is a fun one. Like, those are great accomplishments, just because, you know, that when it comes up, it's like your number being ding, you know, your number being called. So that's a nice atta girl when you get something like, you know, one day you get to play a truck driver, but the next, and I did last week. And it's so silly, but it's stuff that you don't always get to do. And then, you know, the next week you're doing like some sexy voice for, you know, Pajamagram. So they've had me on for like 10 years or something. So stuff like that is just a really nice, satisfying feeling.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Allison. This is huge and super informative. And I really am excited for voice talent to get to know you and see your personality, because I think vibing is so important too. So there's so much you can get from reading a website. So I think going to be really, really helpful. So thanks so much.
Oh my gosh, you're so welcome.